These gifts of healings remind us that there's more than one way that God chooses to heal. And in John chapter 9, beginning in verse 1, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And the disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents?" And Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it's day. The night is coming when no one can work. And as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world." When he said these things, he spat on the ground, made a little bit of clay with his saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he told him, "Now go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. And he went and washed and came back. What does your Bible say? Seeing. Here's just three examples in the life of Jesus where there wasn't just one way that healing came to a blind person. And that word gifts reminds us that you're not going to box God in on how he's going to work in your life.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. All that you've done for me.
It's the Wednesday edition of Abounding Grace, and we're blessed that you chose to join us. Today, Pastor Ed continues his study from the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians. In the Gospel of John, chapter 3, Jesus said, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." As we continue this in-depth look at the Holy Spirit, we see how He works in our lives through the gifts He gives us. Unfortunately, many who have gifts use them to draw attention to themselves instead of bringing glory to God. Now, let's open our Bibles and follow along with Pastor Ed as our spirits are lifted in God's abounding grace.
Here's a process of healing. It took some time. It wasn't immediate. God was drawing out faith from him. One more in John chapter 9, we have the touch the eye, heal the blind ministry. We have spit on the eye and heal the blind ministry. What's John chapter 9 now? All this to say that there's more than one way that God chooses to heal, friends. It's not just one way. These gifts of healings remind us that there's more than one way that God chooses to heal. And in John chapter 9, beginning in verse 1, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And the disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents?" And Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it's day. The night is coming when no one can work. And as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world." When he said these things, he spat on the ground, made a little bit of clay with his saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he told him, "Now go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. And he went and washed and came back. What does your Bible say? Seeing. Here's just three examples in the life of Jesus where there wasn't just one way that healing came to a blind person. And that word gifts reminds us that you're not going to box God in on how he's going to work in your life, even in the realm of healing and removing physical sickness from your life. Blindness was a horrible disease. And you could see that there would be even division over this. Let's just say a blind man came and you're more prone to spit on him. And you're more prone. This section is the spit and heal section. And this is the touch and heal section. And this is the mud section. And this is, you just roll the little wheel and whatever comes up. That's how. And churches actually divide over this nonsense. Instead of just allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us as He wills. And that's what Paul's teaching us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm sure that Jesus healed the blind in many, many different ways that aren't even recorded for us. Remember at the end of John chapter 21, it said that Jesus did many other things. That if we were to write them down, John said, I don't think the books of the world could contain all the things that Jesus did while He was on the earth. I think He did a lot more in the realm of healing than even what we have or even what we've looked at. Do you know there were even times, and this is what's hard for us. This is rather difficult, but it's just as truthful. There were even times when Jesus left people unhealed. He didn't heal everyone. There are times when the Bible is very clear. He healed everyone. There are other times when everyone wasn't healed. Just an isolated event. Just a person. Just a situation. Just a few. There were times where Jesus even left people unhealed. Including great men of faith like Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle was left unhealed with this thorn in his flesh. With that answer from heaven saying, this is something that is going to be in your life, Paul. And I'm going to use it in your life. I'm not going to take it away from you. Because through this, My grace is going to be shown to be sufficient for you. It's not going to go away. You're going to have it forever. And yet the hope isn't in removing the thorn. The hope is in the one that's going to be with you through it. Just like we saw in Psalm 23. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You're not going to skip the valley walk on more than one occasion. The comfort in the valley is not the valley. It's the shepherd that's with you, taking care of you. Number two, another reason I think the word gifts is used here is not to describe a gift that so you can just walk around and have the gift of healing. I don't believe the Bible teaches that at all. But another reason I believe the word gifts is used here is because the manifestation of healing is a gift of grace by God. We don't deserve to be physically healed. We can't earn physical healing. We aren't awarded healing because of good behavior. It's all of grace. It's all of God's sovereign grace. And that's where there will be those that say, you know, if you just had enough faith, what are you talking about? The faith that I have has been given to me from the Lord. He wants to give me more faith. He'll drop more faith. But what are you talking about if I have more faith? Healing is a gift of grace. It's not an award. It's not a trophy that you put up on your shelf for good behavior. God, He chooses to heal. If you wouldn't have enough faith, you wouldn't get sick. It's just not true. It's just not the character or the nature of God. I'm sorry that someone along the way laid that trip on you. You know, God doesn't lay guilt trips. That's not how He operates. He doesn't need to do that. Because through the power of the Holy Spirit, God can bring instant conviction on any one of us. He doesn't need to lay some guilt trip. He doesn't want us to walk away all bummed out because of our lack and our failure. He wants us to feel the weight of our own sinful decisions. And in that weight, in that conviction, to turn our lives back toward Him through repentance. He doesn't want to crush us. He doesn't want to do away with us. He doesn't look at you and go, well, there you are again, Ed. You're the same knucklehead you were the moment you got saved. You're not making any progress. Forget you. That was one of the meanest things we could say when we were high. Forget you. And sometimes we think God says that. Forget you. No, He doesn't forget you. He loves you. He cares for you. Not only does God not forget you, but He enables you to fulfill all that He's put before you. According to the psalmist, He's like a daddy. And I know it's hard for some because you didn't have this example. But God is the perfect example. He's like a daddy who has compassion on his kids. You're trying to teach, you know, little Chucky to ride his bike and he falls off and you just, get up, man, you know. And he falls off again and you kick him in the face again. He's all bloody and be, I'm going to do it, Dad, I'm going to do it. That's so dumb. That's not true. There's in the mom and the dad that's teaching little Chucky how to ride, but there's a desire for them to get it. They'll do whatever they need to make it happen. Working and working and working. Oh yeah, perhaps lose patience here and there, but not because there's a lack of love, just because he's a knucklehead. That's all. It's not a lack of love for the kids. God doesn't love you based on your performance. Oh, but that's how we've grown up. Oh, you know, if Ed's a good little boy, God loves you. And if Ed's a bad little boy, you're you're in trouble. And that's spilled over into our relationship here with him as we gather together as the church family. And you think, well, you know, God is still doing that with me. No, I'm sorry. I really am, on behalf of Jesus, that somebody along the way laid some unbiblical, unspiritual, apart from the character and nature of God, guilt trip on you. God, when he uses guilt, God does use guilt, but it's not like a heavy guilt trip. It's guilt to grab your attention. Like, you should feel guilt when you make a bad decision. You should feel, if you don't feel guilty, if you don't feel like, man, that was not good, then you better check your heart. Guilt is used by God, but not to lay some trip on you, but to draw you back into relationship. See, son, see, daughter, that's not good. I know it's not good. I know. Wow. Whoa. You don't want your conscience seared with a hot iron where you don't feel it anymore, where you don't care anymore. Those are the hard hearts of those that don't walk with the Lord. Those are the hard hearts of those who aren't hearing from the Lord. People lay guilt trips on you to motivate you. That's a religious action by some person that was used to try to control you. God doesn't want to control you. He wants to lead you by his Spirit. He's a shepherd, so he's taking care of his flock. He's not pushing you along. Come on, guys. Let's push you along. You got to keep moving. He leads you gently and lovingly. And the Bible says that when you're in tune with the Lord, that the sheep hear the shepherd's voice. And you can see that when flocks come together. You can see that in Israel. Sometimes they'll mix flocks. On one of our trips, we were able to see that, where they mix flocks, and you could see the shepherd call out, and only certain sheep would hear him. Because the sheep hear the shepherd's voice. And when you're in love with the shepherd, all you want to do is follow him wherever he goes, because you know he's going to take good care of you. When you look at the gifts of healings, healing is a gift from God. God loves you when you're sick. God loves you when you're healed. And ultimately, we pray for physical healing, but it's only temporary. Physical healing is only temporary. Because ultimately, we're all going to die from our last sickness. All of us. We live in a fallen world. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. And ultimately, all of us will shed this earthly body and will be given a new body. Amen? Amen. All you bald guys, you're going to have hair like all out here, man. Everything the way that God has intended. This is going to be awesome. Just everything, all the aches and pains, gone. You ever walk down the stairs and your body's making noise and you're just like, where'd that come from? I'll tell you where it came from. Age. All you young people, that'll never happen to me. Not true. It's going to happen to you. And the Bible says, listen, for we now see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I'm also known. And now abide faith, hope, love, and these three, but the greatest of these is love. We're going to be known. We're going to shed these earthly bodies. We're going to take on a new, resurrected, spiritual body that forever abide with the Lord. And those, listen. We talk about healing. I know that some of you prayed for healing with your loved ones, and they did not receive physical healing. Instead, they went into the presence of the Lord. Let me tell you something. They were healed. They're in perfect health right now. And I can comfort you with this hope, that you'll be reunited with your loved ones in Jesus Christ. Your prayers were answered, just not the way you thought. And there's the hope of being reunited. Some of you are here. You are walking miracles of the healing hand of God. God used a doctor in your life, used the wisdom of that doctor to bring healing. Everyone else said no, but this doctor hooked you up, found out what was going on, brought healing into your body as an instrument of God. Some of you were supernaturally healed. You've got the x-rays, you've got the MRI, you got everything to prove it. You got the testimony, the doctor even signed it. You had the doctor autograph your x-ray, because it's to the glory of God. But ultimately, none of us are going to live on this earth forever in these human bodies. And healing is a gift. Let me show you a couple places where this gifting, this manifestation shows up. Turn over to Acts chapter 3 now. Acts chapter 3. I know that the message will go out on the radio. It'll go out on the internet. Some people are watching right now on live right on the internet or one of the archives. And I'm telling you that there's hope in the Lord. There's hope in Him. That whatever He gives us, whatever He allows in our lives, is going to be used for His glory to draw people's attention to Him and not to us. And on the many hospital visits that we as pastors have the privilege of going on, and the elders of our church, and the lay leaders, everybody goes on hospital visits here to visit the sick when they're infirm and they're in their bed or at the convalescent homes and their weakness. I'll tell you, there is a profound difference between a sick person that's a believer and a sick person that's an unbeliever. It is palpable. You can feel the difference. There is hope in that room. There is, even if the believer has unsaved family members in the room, the hope fills that room. That person laying in bed becomes a bright, shining light of the hope in Jesus Christ. And of course, for that person that's not a believer, there's a hopeless scenario, but then hope comes in when you walk in the door. And you begin to preach the gospel of the hope of Jesus, of ultimate healing in Him, by repenting of your sins. I mean, tonight, if you are sick, the Bible says that you can call upon the elders, we'll anoint you with oil, we have it up here, and we'll pray for your healing. But let's just say you're sick and you're not saved. You don't have a relationship with God. Well, before we ever anoint you with oil, we're going to pray that you get saved. Because that's really what you're worried about physical sickness, I'm worried about spiritual sickness. That the concern is not just physically, but God has used this physical condition in your life to draw attention to the fact that you're lost, man. And your only hope is Jesus. Because even if physical healing did come, you're still going to die. And the Bible says that it's appointed once for a man to die. And then the judgment. You know, in some realms of Christianity today, there's this, well, you'll get a second chance after death. No, you won't. You know, you can go to this place in the middle, purgatory, and you can work it off and people can buy you out. No, you can't. No, that's not true. It's not in the Bible. You don't have a second chance. Your only chance is right now. There isn't nobody buying you out of hell. The choice of hell and heaven is made tonight. What? You know, I hear you. I've been thinking about it. Let me go home and think a little bit more. Fine. Just understand that that decision, because you made a decision, is a decision for hell. That's what that is. I respect you for wanting to think more. I respect you for wanting to process everything. But the more you think about it, the more you process it, the more you're going to talk yourself out of repenting of your sin. Instead of just believing on Jesus tonight and embracing Him as your Savior. And then automatically you have spiritual healing. By His stripes we are healed. Our sins are forgiven. Our life is made right with God. And it could very well be that God has physical healing for you as well. Notice Acts chapter 3. Peter and John going up to the temple together in verse 1. It was the hour of prayer. A certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. He saw Peter and John about to go into the temple. He asked for some money. It'd be really quick for us to put our hand in the pocket, see how much change we have, and just throw a few coins that way. That wouldn't be unusual. It wouldn't be unloving. It wouldn't be uncaring. At all. We have people asking for alms all the time, side of the freeway off ramps, you know, different places outside of the stores. You can get so hardened to them, you don't even have a heart for them anymore. Just be careful. Well, look at them. Look at the shoes he's wearing. Who cares what shoes? Has God spoke to your heart about helping someone in Jesus' name and you're worried about what shoes he's wearing or look, just be open to the Spirit. What if you're in need? You want us checking your shoes out? Or do you want us helping you in Jesus' name? You get so hard. Oh, I know. You possibility of being taken advantage of and such is always there. But be open to the Spirit. That's what Peter's doing here. Guy's just asking for money. He's open. He could have put his hand in his robe and pulled out a few coins and threw it that way. But fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." Now the Spirit's moving. He gave him his attention, expecting to receive something, and Peter said, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." Wow. The gifts of healing is going to manifest here along with the gift of faith in verse 7. Verse 7 is heavy duty. Took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Powerful. Word of knowledge that this guy had faith to be healed. Gifts of healing, there's healing here, and the gift of faith to pick him up. When all the while he could have just thrown a few coins out his way and just went into the temple to pray, he could have had a hard heart and just said, "Forget this, I've seen this guy week after week. I give him money every week, I'm not giving him anything anymore, look at him after." Instead, he's just open. Are you open? You never know what God's going to do when you're open. You never know what God has in store for you. Just stay open. Say, "Oh, whatever, Lord. I belong to you, Jesus." Who knows, maybe that's why you aren't seeing the Spirit of God move so much in your life, because you're not open. Notice chapter 5 now. We're in the book of Acts. This gifts of healing. Pick up in verse 12. Ananias and Sapphira, they experienced something. They experienced being slain in the Spirit. Literally. They didn't get up. Try to bring hypocrisy into the church. Peter, he's walking in the Spirit. He nails it. Why are you lying to the Holy Spirit? Why are you lying? And God just takes them both out. And that's a whole study in and of itself. Verse 12. Through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of them, the rest, dared join them. The people esteemed them highly. Believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they, look at this, verse 15, they brought the sick out into the streets, laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. They were superstitious in the first century. They thought it was the shadow healing them of Peter. It was really God. God is moving in a mighty way. How do we know that? Verse 16, also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented, and they were all healed.
Be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Ed Taylor continues our message, The Manifestation of the Spirit, The Gifts of Healing. Perhaps you're not able to tune in again next time, or your schedule only allows you to listen to this program on a limited basis. Well, there are several options for you to hear this message again. First, I'd like to direct you to our website at calvaryaurora.org. There you can listen to this daily broadcast at your convenience 24 hours a day. By clicking on the multimedia link, you can listen to Pastor Ed's entire message via live streaming. If the internet's not your thing, you can call or write and order a copy of this study on an audio CD. When you contact us, ask for CD number 4627. Once again, it's CD number 4627, and we suggest a donation of $2 to help cover the cost of the materials and shipping. Call us toll-free at 877-30-GRACE. That number again is 877-304-7223. We're making available to you during the month of August the book by Warren Wiersbe on Being a Servant of God for a financial gift of any size to this ministry. Whether you're a volunteer or full-time Christian worker, Wiersbe speaks directly to your heart and soul. Perhaps you're just getting started in your ministry, or you may be a veteran with battle scars. In either case, you'll be encouraged in the greatest work in the world, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you'd like to have the book on Being a Servant of God by Warren Wiersbe, we'd be happy to send you a copy right away when you support this ministry with a financial gift during the month of August. Just ask for your copy when you send a gift. Our address is Abounding Grace. Box 460-598, Aurora, and that's spelled A-U-R-O-R-A, Aurora, Colorado, 80046. You can also donate online via our secure web browser. Just log on to calvaryaurora.org. Finally, for those of you living in the Denver metro area, we'd love to have you join us this evening for our midweek Bible study at Calvary Chapel. We begin at 7 p.m. For directions and more information, give us a call at the church office at area code 303-628-7200. Or check out the Click for Directions link on our website. It's right there on the homepage under locations at calvaryaurora.org. You can also watch and listen live online. Again, the address on the web is calvaryaurora.org. And while you're there, be sure to check out the podcasting of this daily radio program. We pray that you've been blessed today, and we'll see you next time as you continue to walk in God's abounding grace.
This is amazing grace.
This program is presented by Calvary Chapel of Aurora.